Our subject is, finally on this wonderful subject of Thanksgiving, but ours is a little different, praising God during trying times. And of course, it's a beautiful subject. It's a beautiful idea. I think it would be better, Cajetan, if you could do this instead of me. If you made me the co-host, then you could do this, but I don't want to have to sit here letting people in all the time. Or just take that off so that you don't have to sit and wait. I don't know. Anyway, so this perhaps is a little...
It is you, brother, ready to make now him co-host.
No, I can't run the presentation and let everybody in at the same time. The host, he didn't make me the co-host, and he still needs to be the host. Anyway, thank you, Brother Eliezer, for your input. So our subject, again, is praising God during trying times. But this is in two parts, and so we want to discuss it in two parts. First of all, the subject is praising God, and the second is trying times. So we want to begin with getting some definitions. What do we mean by praising God, and what do we mean by trying times? To praise means to honor, worship, and express admiration, appreciation, approval for God. We know that. So we can thank him. Somebody has their speaker on, please. We can praise him in word. We can praise him in song. We can praise him in study in many, many different ways. This is going to be... Okay. But if we think about how do you praise God? Do you praise God telling him how great he is? Do you praise God in telling him how wonderful he is? You see, those are all words, but what is the truest form of praise? The truest form of praise is to obey. What did God tell Samuel? What did Samuel tell Saul? To obey is better than sacrifice. All these wonderful words of praise, singing and so forth are wonderful. But if we don't obey, it has little value. What did our Lord say in John 14:21? He that has my words and keeps them, he it is that loves me. So if we have our Lord's word and we keep them, that demonstrates that we are worshiping him. That demonstrates we're praising him. We love him. John 13:17, he said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So, this is our subject. Kajitan, you can see that message too if you would let people in the waiting. Anyway, sorry. Oops. Sorry.
Brunare.
Why don't you just take off the...
Brunare, make me two co-hosts, please.
A second. Wait a minute. But we're not going to have a waiting room. There we go. I get rid of the waiting room, okay? That way people can come in directly.
Yes.
Okay, that solves the problem. Excuse me. Okay, so the key here is the best way to praise God is to obey him. Now, let's see. Now, what do we mean by trying times? Well, in this particular time, in this particular year, we've had much emphasis on COVID ID, we've had much emphasis on the many problems. You've heard all kinds of statistics, how many people died today, how many people got sick today, how about the financial, we've got global problems with the government, with the environment, with religion, finance, social and personal. We can spend hours just discussing all the problems that are in existence today. Is that what we mean by trying times? Are we just having trying times when we have COVID ID? Are we just having trying times when there are our global problems? Each of us, every day of our life, has trying times. Every human being has trying times. It's not just a special time, it's all the time. So we want to be personal in this trying. Trying means to try, to tempt, to prove. They're all similar thoughts. They're testing, improving, and developing our character for the divine nature. So we want to enjoy and appreciate these trying times, because they're for the purpose of developing our character, not for the purpose of, oh, poor me. All these things are in God's hands. My times are in God's hands. We will be talking about that and emphasizing that as we go through. The COVID ID, everything is in God's hands. And so the trying times that are in the world today are all under God's control. And of course, as was emphasized, the results will be the benefit and blessing for everyone. So never think that the trying times is just the big experiences are going on in the world. Big experiences are going on. Please mute your speakers. Thank you. Now, times is a little more, we don't want to talk about the personal aspect of times. In some respects, in the scriptures, we've got many things to talk about fixed periods. We have the times of restitution. If you look at your screen, brethren, you'll see I'm pointing at the things I'm talking about. So you can, if you can't understand me, you can see what I'm talking about. Times of restitution, times of the Gentiles, perilous times, time of the harvest, time of the end, hour of temptation, time of trouble, all kinds of times. But in Psalm 31:15, David says, my times are in your hand. My times are in your hand. What are times? Well, it's not just my years, my days, my hours, not just my time, but all the affairs of life, temporal and spiritual. All the affairs of my life, temporal and spiritual, are in God's hand. Now, what does it mean by God's hand? Why does it say God's hands? God's hand means under his power and direction. God's hand means under his power and direction. So all our times, all the affairs of our life, temporally and spiritually, are under God's power and direction. Therefore, we can simplify our theme very easily to say, praise God always. Praise God always. Doesn't matter what time it is. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Praise God always. Okay, that's the theme of our subject for today. Because again, my times, praising God always. My times are in thy hand. Praise God always. Not just on special circumstances. Not just when times are bad. Sometimes we think that we're in the severest trials when the times are bad. But brethren, actually, most of us are in probably the severest trials when things are going good. We have much more temptation and tendency to stray away when things are going good, when they are going bad. And so think of it as all our times, everything. Praise God always. Okay, now we want to shift to a little bit different subject, a little bit different way of looking at our subject, and that's the battlefield of the mind. That's what we're talking about. In all of our times, we're talking about the battlefield of our mind. Little or big, our life is a series of continued trials, temptations, and proving. That's what our life is all about. Not just in the major global and international trials of all, but daily. All of our experiences. The battlefield of mind. We're in the university of this present evil world. Every day we have classes in the university of this present evil world. In the school of Christ, we have classes. As a soldier, we're in training. There is no vacation. There is no holiday. There is no sick leave. We're on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Brethren, the battlefield of the mind doesn't take a vacation. It doesn't go away because we go to sleep at night. In this battle, our attitude, Brother Rick emphasized the attitude of gratitude. We have a discourse on that also. In this battle, our attitude is the most important and makes all the difference in the world. It doesn't matter what's happening to you outside. What it matters is what's happening inside in the battlefield of your mind. It has been said, and this is a beautiful way of looking at it, anything can be endured except continual prosperity. Anything can be endured except continual prosperity. That's the thing that we have the most trouble with. There's a beautiful poem in the Poems of Donne. I think many of you know it, perhaps you've heard it. I'm going to quote the whole thing, but it says, great truths are dearly bought. When the hand of God put forth in might stirs up the subsoil of the stagnant heart, it brings the true seeds to the light. That's what's happening in our times of trial or times of difficulty. God is putting forth his hand and stirring up the subsoil of our mind to bring forth fruit, to bring forth seeds and prosper. The hand of God. My times are in your hand. Everything that we have and are and hope to be, brethren, is in the hand of God under his power and direction. Let us never forget, whatever it is, our good times, our bad times, as Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. My times are in your hand. Now we want to talk about some principles and the way to consider this. This, I just say an interesting thing for those of you who are seeing this picture. None of you, I'm sure, have ever been there. This is about 12 miles from Aspen, Colorado, where I was born. And when I consecrated, I went into the wilderness to spend 40 days, and about 6 miles from here, under a tree by a stream, I sat down and read the first volume. So this place is very special to me. Anyway, our principles to ponder and questions. How is our attitude? Are we praising God always? Let's ask ourselves this question. Under every circumstance, in every circumstance, are we praising God always? How should we manage our time? There's a question. The manna for January, excuse me. My voice hasn't had to work for this for the last 9 months. Sorry. Anyway, the manna for January 6th is Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Okay, that's how we manage our time, by numbering our days so we can apply our hearts to wisdom. What does Brother Russell say? The Christian, in counting his days, does not do so with a doleful or... How does he count our days? We count our days with so many blessings, so many privileges, so many opportunities. That's what your days are. That's how you count your days. Blessings, privileges, and opportunities. That's what they are. For doing what? For showing forth God's praises. That's one thing. To assist our brethren, and to develop into character, becoming a copy of God's dear Son. That's the purpose of our days. That's the purpose of our experiences. That's the purpose of our time. Blessing, privileges, and opportunities. Praise God, assist our brethren, and develop character. Okay, let's go on to number two. How are you today? What is your attitude today? Normal daily, ask yourself this question every morning, Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ask yourself daily, am I rejoicing in hope? Am I patient in tribulation? Am I continuing instant in prayer? Do you want to rejoice in the Lord? Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth beautiful, fragrant flowers. To find, appreciate, and stimulate the good in every person, everything, every situation in yourself. Where is the way to life and happiness? Well, most of you brethren have not ever seen the old volume. Brother Homer, I'm sure, did, has seen a copy of the old volumes. They were red. The volumes were all red. Volumes 1 through 6 were all red. And on the book was written, The Way to Life and Happiness. On the volumes, the front of the volume, it said, The Way to Life and Happiness. So the way to life and happiness is the truth. God has given us the truth, and that's the way to life and happiness. In John 16:24, in a reprint, 20:31 is a beautiful thing. He says this, in the cultivation of the spirit of praise, thanksgiving, and loving appreciation for all the manifest goodness of God is a Christian's secret of a happy life. There it is. The secret of a happy life is in the cultivation of the spirit of praise, thanksgiving, and loving appreciation for all the manifest goodness of God. Brother, I will make this available to anybody that wants it. So the scriptures are all here, and I can make it available as a PDF and also with the pictures. So at the end, hopefully we will have time to do that. Question number three, what is the will of God for you? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there's some interesting things. Verses 1 and 2, and you may think about this sometimes. Paul says we should pray for everyone. We should pray for the leaders. We should pray for everyone in order that we can have peace. And why? Well, sometimes we think of that. We pray for them so they'll leave us alone so we can have peace. But that's not the thought. We want to pray for everyone. Why? Because in verses 3 and 4 it says, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. God will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's why we pray for everyone. Because all of these people are going to come to a knowledge of the truth in the kingdom in due time. And so that's what we pray for them. Did you ever think about the men that are out there climbing around on the poles that are installing your wiring so that you can use Zoom, so that you can use the internet, so that your houses in Africa, you don't have this problem, but in Romania, it's cold. We have heat in our house. We have light in our houses. Somebody's climbing around outside in a pole so that we can have all those things. Do you ever thank God? Do you ever thank him for those people that do all that work for you? We thank him for the people that allowed us to have the Zoom connection. There's a lot of people behind the scenes, brethren, that are going through a lot of difficulty just preparing all these services for us. And only if we have this attitude of praying for everyone will we ever have peace. Again, 1 Thessalonians, the theme of this convention in chapter 5, it said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God concerning you. The manna for June the 18th, the last paragraph, says that it is indeed the will of God that his children should always be happy in him, that we should be always rejoicing. And if we lack this blessing, we're living beneath our privileges. It is our privilege to be happy, to rejoice always in everything. Now, Deuteronomy 13:3 says what? The Lord your God proves you to see whether or not you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Everything we go through, all these trying times are the proof test to see whether we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay, question number 4. I'm going to have 10 of these, brothers. Sometimes we might have to, I don't have a clock here available. It's an accurate clock. You see, that's about 10 minutes fast. Anyway, I got this on full screen, so I can't see the time. But anyway, Kazu time will warn me when we get down to 5 minutes. So I'll wrap it up quickly. What is the purpose of the present life, brethren? Just ask yourself that question. Is the purpose of the present life for us to have big families, happy families, big jobs, a big house, a big car, lots of money? What is the purpose of the present life? What is the purpose of the present life? 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, it says, though our outer man is perishing, these are light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work out in us our exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Purpose of the present life is to what? To gain experience for eternity. Not just for ourselves, but for all mankind. What's the permission of evil? Why the permission of evil? To gain experience for eternity. These experiences that you're going through, that mankind's been going through for 6,000 years, 6,146 years, will never be repeated. It's a library experience for all eternity, for all mankind, for the ages of eternity to learn from. And so our experiences are for us to gain experience for eternity. In James chapter 1, we have some beautiful scriptures, verses 2 to 4 and 12. In verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. The temptation works patience, and let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then in verse 12, he says, blessed are you when you endure temptation, for you will receive the crown of life. So we have joy because that gives us patience, that work out to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We will be blessed and attain the crown. All because we joy in tribulation. All because we joy in tribulation. Okay, lesson number 5. Where do you live? Oh, brethren, some of you live in Nigeria. Brother Timo lives in Finland. I live in Romania. We have a normal address where we live. We have two choices in our life. We can live in two places. We can live in love and we can live in fear. In 1 John 4:18, John said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. If we live in love, we won't be fearful. And so our Lord in Luke 21, he says in Luke 21, 25 through 26, Luke 21, 25 through 26, you could not better describe the conditions that have existed for the last 9 months in the world. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Distress of nations with perplexity. Men's hearts failing them, that distress of nations with perplexity means no way out. No way out of solving all these problems. Distress of nations with perplexity. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after all those things that are coming upon the earth. It's fearful times out there for the world of mankind. But us, what does it say in verse 28? When you see these things begin to come to pass, then you look up, lift up your heads and rejoice, for your deliverance draws nigh. Not just because of our deliverance, but our deliverance means the deliverance of all mankind. In 1 John 4:16, he says, God is love. If we dwell in God, we dwell in God and God in us. Do you dwell in love? If you dwell in love, God dwells in you and you dwell in him. On our chart, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but we're going to talk about, we'll talk about that now. We're going to talk about Psalm 91, verses 1 and 9 through 11. Where do we live? on the chart. Where do you live on the chart? In Isaiah, we can flip back and forth here, so we'll go to the chart. Psalm 91, verse 1. So where do you live, brethren? On the chart, where do you live? Psalm 91, verse 1, what does it say? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Where is that? Where is the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty? In the holy of the tabernacle. Brethren, that's where we live. On plain M, in the holy of the tabernacle, that is our hiding place. In the secret place of the Most High, that's where we live. And then he says in verses 9 through 11, because you made the Lord, who is my God, even your Most High, your habitation, because you make him your habitation, there shall no evil befall you. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for it shall be his angels charge you, but to guard you in all your ways. So that's where we live, brethren. We live in the holy of the tabernacle. That's our dwelling place. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 9 through 11. Then Isaiah 32, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. We dwell in a peaceable habitation in the holy of the tabernacle. A holy habitation. No problem in the holy. His angels are given charge over us to guard us in all our ways. And we have another plan of the ages here. And I think some of the brethren, I don't know if in Algeria, if you have this chart or not, but I like this chart because we want to look at this chart. There's two ways to look at where we live. We live horizontally and we live vertically. So we talked about vertically going up and down. We live in the holy, right? We live in the holy of the tabernacle. But horizontally, where do we live? Well, we say we live over here in the harvest. We live in the harvest of the gospel age. But if we look down here, brethren, we see the dates. That's why we love this chart, because it has the dates on it. Our Lord returned in 1874. Sleeping saints are awakened in 1878, 1914, the end of times of Gentiles. So we're right here before the completion of the church. That's where we live. But brethren, many of the people in the world have changed. Many of the brethren, 75% of the brethren have changed this chart. Well, the millennium hasn't begun yet. Oh, times of restitution haven't begun yet. So I'm sorry, they're living someplace else. We're living in the times of restitution. We're living in the millennial age. We're living in our Lord's reign. That's where we live, brethren. And we thank the Lord for these wonderful charts. And so we have where we are today. We're 48,146 years from creation, 6,146 years from the fall, 1,874 years, look at our Lord returned 874, 446 years ago. There's still 854 years left of the millennium, brethren. Is that enough? Of course. It's more than enough for all of God's plans and purposes to be accomplished. So you don't need to change where you live on the chart just because the time is lengthening. What is precious to God? Well, in Psalm 116, verse 15, what does he say? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The death of his saints is precious in the sight of the Lord. Now, that doesn't just mean when you die, that means God is happy. It's your consecration. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death, the consecration of his saints. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, present your body to living sacrifice. That's precious to God. Psalm 50, verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me have sacrificed. That's precious to God. 1 Peter 1, 7. What's precious? The trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. That's what's precious. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Peter says, Peter an apostle, those who obtained like precious faith with us. Your faith is precious. You have the same faith as Peter. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, God has given us all things, whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises. That's what's precious to God. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13 says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which shall try you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as you are counted worthy to be takers of the sufferings of Christ, rejoice. Revelation 3, 18 and 20 says what? He condemns Laodicea. He says, you're lukewarm. What did he say to us? I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And then our Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens to me, I will come in and eat with him, sup with him, and he with me. Our Lord comes in and eats with us, and he brings the food, which is the harvest message given by our Lord's return. What precious things we have from the Lord, brethren. That's enough. Question number 7. What about disappointment and discouragement? Well, I'm going to go through all of this and read it, but I've got to memorize. I would encourage you to memorize this. It's very beautiful. July 3rd, manna. What does he say? He who has buried his own will completely in the will of the Lord can know no disappointment. Brethren, if we bury our will completely in the will of the Lord, we cannot be disappointed. Disappointment, discouragement is a choice. It's a part of the battlefield of our mind. We know that all things are working. He says that all things are divine appointment or supervision. Everything that happens to you is either by divine appointment or supervision. Your times are in God's hand. And then it says, it's one of the evidences of reaching the graduating condition of heart. We're able to take the oppositions of the great adversary and of the world and of our own flesh. You see, one of the biggest problems we have is our own flesh putting up with our own weaknesses day after day after day, making the same mistake. God forgives us. We have to learn to forgive ourselves. We must take these things uncomplainingly, unmurmuringly, joyfully, part of the disciplinary experience meted out to us by our wise and all-loving Lord. Bury your will completely in the Lord, and you will have no disappointment, no discouragement. July 3rd, manna. What about doctrinal trials and provings? Now, there's not just character trials. There's also doctrinal trials. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4 tells us about the vision. What is that vision? Well, there's the vision, brethren. There's the vision. Write it down. Make it plain upon tables, that ye may run that readeth it. The vision is yet for the point of time. At the end, when is the end? The harvest at the end of the age. At the end it shall speak and not lie. Brethren, there it is. Habakkuk 2. What is the doctrinal trials and provings? The vision will speak and not lie. Though it seem to tarry, wait for it. Yeah, we've had to wait 146 years. Okay, you haven't waited 146 years. I haven't waited. I've been waiting, 55 years. Some of you have been waiting perhaps longer, some less. But the point is, it's been 146 years since our Lord returned. We've been waiting for the consummation. There's still 854 years left. And so there's plenty of time, brethren. Though it seemed to tarry, wait for it, for we surely come. Now, Paul picks this up in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. And he says the same thing. He says, let's go back here very quickly. In Hebrews 10, 35 through 39. Paul says, cast that away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You have need of patience, that after having done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, while it seems that he shall come is tarrying, yet he will not tarry. He will surely come. And then Paul says in verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Exactly what Habakkuk said. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the vision. This is what our faith is in, brethren. Our faith is in the vision. It will not tarry. It will surely come. And it has come. And it is come. And it is there. And the dates are there. And there's the same thing we had before. Okay, lesson number 9. We're getting close to the end. What are the 7 elements of consecrated living? This is from the 5th resolve. The 5th resolve is, I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. Now here's a chart that puts that into a chart form. Okay, I will seek to be faithful to the Lord through prayer, praise, and meditation, to the truth through study, and to the brethren and others through fellowship, witnessing, and service. This is your life. What is your life? Fica adentia, be faithful. Be faithful unto death, I will give you a crown of life. So our relationship with the Lord, prayer, praise, and meditation, our relationship with the truth, study, and our relationship with the brethren and others through fellowship, witnessing, and service. These are natural parallels to our life, the computer, input, processing, and output. We eat, we digest, we have activity. There's balance. And so in our spiritual lives, we must eat, we study. We must digest, prayer, praise, and meditation. And then we must have activity. And of course, rest. And then we must have activity, exercise, fellowship, witnessing, and service. This is our life, brethren. And last, number 10, our beautiful conclusion, the resolve, the last resolve, the 6th resolve, the morning resolve. What does it say? Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare. So I'm trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare. I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may. Praise God always. How, brethren? Through 3 absolutes. There's 3 absolutes for our consecrated lives that will enable us to praise God always. Number one, you must understand that you are absolutely dependent upon God. Of our own self, we can do nothing. We are absolutely dependent upon God. Secondly, absolute obedience. We say, I can't do that. That's right. But we can have an absolutely loyal will. And nothing less than this is acceptable. We can pray. We can have absolute dependence. Based on that absolute dependence, we will have absolute obedience, an absolutely loyal will. And then we can and must have absolute confidence. Based on dependence, a loyal will, we must have absolute confidence. We must praise God always. In summary, brethren, our attitude and answers to these questions determine the quality of our present life and where we will spend eternity. Let us be faithful in praising God always. Amen.